Appreciated that song this morning, didn't you? Not only was it beautifully sung and the melody was beautiful, but the message is so encouraging. To know that God's in control and nothing touches us except that it goes through His hand gives me courage to go through life, doesn't it, you? I don't want to ever lose sight of the end goal. I want to make heaven. I was thinking that today is during service, those verses that speak of what shall a man profit if he gain the whole world but lose his own soul. I believe there was a big lottery ticket. It was drawn last night. Some people made a lot of money. What shall a man profit if he gain the whole world but lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? If we live life and experience all of these things that we would like to experience in life, but in the end lose our soul and then face eternity, it's for loss. None of it will have profited us. Anything. I want to make heaven. I want to do my part in following Jesus. I want to be a dependable servant of the Lord. And I'm thankful that He's there to hold my hand. I'd like to write the topic this morning on the board. We've been speaking about the subject as Christians of finding our way home, finding our way to our eternal home. We started two or three Sundays ago and started with an approach to making decisions in those instances where perhaps we don't yet have personal established convictions in our own lives. Maybe we don't have complete understanding about an area of life, maybe even an area that we grew up being taught about, yet we don't feel like we have established convictions in our own lives. It's a reality of life. Decisions have to be made, though. Life goes on. Time moves on. We've spent some time, we've written it on the board, maybe I won't do it this morning, but we'll refer to it, establishing a vision, an objective, as a Christian living life. What is our vision? What is our objective in life? It should be that, as Jesus said, to seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness. Above all else, seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness in a way that results in knowing and reflecting Jesus Christ. Not just saying, yeah, I believe that's right, seeking first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness, but that our objective in life, our vision is such that we believe into it so that we give our lives to live a certain way. In a way that results in knowing Jesus, having a relationship with Him that's alive, dynamic, in a way that reflects Jesus to those that we come in contact with, and that we make heaven our home in the end. That's our end objective. Everything else is second to living so that I get to where it is I'm trying to get to, heaven. And thirdly, that we help others make heaven our home. So that's been kind of an overarching vision and objective. And then last Sunday we talked about the importance of living our lives based upon the Word of God, a faith-based foundation, rather than making decisions based upon our feelings. Well, I feel like this is okay. This seems like it ought to be okay. Our emotions, the influences that affect us, that we're able to see beyond that. Again, as we endeavor to find our way home. And this morning, I've written on the board, range of outcome. Thinking this morning about, as we find our way, that we consider range of outcome relative to the decisions that we make. Made mention last Sunday, we have a nice number of young people in our congregation. Some still in mom and dad's house, and some have left mom and dad's house. And when that time comes in life, you are given, whether you want to or not, the responsibilities of making more and more decisions for your life. You know, the little game you play where you say, ready or not, here I come. Ready or not, oftentimes, it's your decision to make now. And my burden is that all of us be equipped, and particularly my burden is that the young people of our congregation, the young marrieds in our congregation, are equipped with a spiritual decision-making process that has practical application. And that you internalize the vision and objective of seeking first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness in a way that results in knowing Jesus and reflecting Him, making heaven, helping others make heaven, as a basis by which to make your decisions in life. Because life's real, life has consequences. Decisions have consequences in life. And young people, and as we get started in life, some of the most critical decisions we make are at that time of life. And those decisions that we make often set a course, a direction that makes a big difference in the rest of our lives. So it's very important that at this stage that you have a decision-making framework, if I can say it that way. A decision-making process that when you face decisions, you can go, okay, let me think about this and approach this decision in a way that when I get done, I've done what the world calls due diligence on this decision, to give myself, by the grace of God, the best chance of having a good outcome. I'd like to read out of the 14th chapter of Luke this morning. Desire your prayers and your attention as we dig into this a little bit. Luke 14, 25 said, "And there went great multitude with him, and he turned and said unto them," Jesus saw an opportunity with a great multitude. He saw a need to impart to them some wisdom. He saw a great need, an important opportunity with all these people to be able to speak something to them that affected all of them. This message this morning touches all of us in life. "If any man come to me and hate not his mother," or his father and mother, "his wife, his children, his brother and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." That's how he started. And he's not saying, I want you to hate and not like and dislike and set your father and your mother and your brothers and your sisters to the side. But what he's saying is, if you don't love less those things that you love most in this temporal life, that will get in the way of following me. You got to put me first. And then if you put me first, I will actually help you take those things that are most important in life, your father and your mother and your wife and your husband and your brothers and your sisters and your home and your land, and I'll bring fulfillment with those things that you never had, could have before. That's the way the Lord works. But you have to put me first. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. There's a cross to bear. There is a cross whether you live for the Lord or whether you don't live for the Lord. There's a cross that's associated with living life. We're not in heaven. We're living in this world. And there is a cross that's associated with serving Jesus. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. How often? Once a year? Once in your life? What did the scripture say? Daily. There is some religious circles that promote this thought that, well, there shouldn't really be any cross for Christians. The Lord already did that. We're putting too much emphasis on self-denial. Jesus bore the cross and we just need to be happy. Listen, Jesus Christ bore the cross that we couldn't bear. He carried the cross we were unable to carry. Thank the Lord. But there's still a cross. There's still a responsibility that we have. And this scripture plainly tells us, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Supporting scriptures to the message this morning, this isn't the main topic, but it moves into it now. For which of you intending to build the tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest happily, after he hath laid the foundation, is not able to finish it, ran out of funds, ran out of money, ran out of resources. All the unexpected hit. I didn't know that was going to happen. But here is this investment of time and money, and here's this foundation, didn't count the cost, can't finish it, and is not able to finish it, and all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Remember, Jesus is speaking to the multitudes, trying to impart a truth that they could take through life. Or what king goeth to make war against another king? Oh, I'm going to go. I see a king. I'm going to make war against him. I see something I want. I'm going to go conquer, and off they go with this decision. And sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, that one that is not willing to adopt, seeking first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, first above all things, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt hath lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? If we're the people of God, if we've been given the truth, if we have understanding of the Word of God, if we were reared in a home where truth was given to us and we had this knowledge and we were equipped with a decision-making process that would do us well in life, and the Lord perhaps would say, I want you to be salt, I want you to be have something to bring out the flavor in not only your life but the life of others. But if you get to that place and the salt has lost its savor and these things that you've been equipped with aren't put to use, then wherewith shall it be salted? What good is it then? It's in vain then. And it said, it's neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill, but been casted out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And that's a good exhortation this morning, I feel, for this message. It's important. It's applicable to every single one of us here this morning. And in the fear of the Lord, he that hath ears to hear the message this morning. Range of outcome. If I'm going to invest a lot of money, because money is what we use to live life. Money is It's a medium of exchange that we use to buy food and clothing and shelter, and it's how we live. If I'm going to take a large sum of money and invest it, I want to know what I'm going to get in return. Don't you? I personally am not real interested in handing over what I've worked really hard for, get up early every morning and go to work for year after year after year, and then just turn it over or commit a significant amount of my time and my energy to something if I haven't fully considered the cost and the return. Kind of like this story that Jesus told. They didn't do that. I want to have more than just a glossy picture that has some really well put together words that describe what's going to happen to make my decision off of. I want more than just what the seller has to tell me. I want to know what the seller's not telling me. I'd like to know what the seller doesn't know himself. If I'm going to make the decision, maybe there's not a seller so much involved. Maybe it's me looking at something and saying, I'm going to make an investment. I'm going to build something. I'm going to make some decisions with my life, and this is the way I want to go. I want to know more than just the surface, how I think it's going to make me feel, and the emotions per the message last Sunday. I want to see beyond that. I want to consider range of outcome. If I make this decision, if I make this investment, what could happen? You with me so far? In the business world, sometimes they call this the upside, downside, and expected case. If you're going to go make an investment, it's necessary to know, what do you expect out of this investment? What's your expected case when you get done? What's the downside? In other words, if you go forward with this decision, what are the range of things that could happen with this decision that you're making? So we say, this is your expected case. This is what you think you're going to get out of this decision. But if these things happen here, what's the downside? Where might you find yourself if certain things take place? What does that downside look like? And conversely, perhaps there's some things that might happen reasonably, could be expected, that put you in a most favorable position if you make this decision and this investment. Range of outcome. In other words, when you make a decision, you don't just say, oh, well, I want this, and that's why I'm doing it, and so I guess that's what I'm going to get when I make this decision. I'm going to get this. In reality, most of the time, really all the time, most of the time, you're going to end up somewhere on one side of it. Sometimes it's exact, but lots of times in life, because of the things that we don't know and that are out of our control, there's a range of outcome that's associated with the decisions that we make. And so before you make an investment, before you invest significant amount of money and time, now spiritually speaking, before you make decisions that set you on a track in life that can change your life and the life of others. It's wise to stop and spend some time considering, what is the range of outcome? And if I go through this process, this is due diligence. I am performing due diligence on this, on this decision I'm going to spend time on. I'm not going to just jump in. I'm going to due diligence to understand. And if after I do that, I look at this expected case, because it may be after I do this analysis, after I give it some thought and consideration, the expected case isn't what I thought it was going to be when I first thought about it. If after I look at it, I look at my expected case and the downside, and I decide that I cannot live with this, that that's not good, it's good to change your investment strategy. You need to make a different decision. The decision that you thought was the right decision to make, the decision that seemed like the good thing to do, the right thing. Been wanting to do it all my life. I've always wanted to go do this. I've always wanted to live this way. I've always thought I shouldn't have to do this, and I want to do this. Okay. We'll all have that opportunity a lot of times in life. Before you do that, spend time honestly with yourself and with God, with a vision and objective in mind, trying to seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness. Try to understand this. That represents an element of a sound decision-making process. And it's good to do this. Certain decisions that we make in life that maybe you say they're not spiritual decisions, but it's good stewardship with what you have, so that you don't just, and the Bible teaches that we could spend time bringing out different scriptures. The Bible teaches, be good stewards. Think, consider, be as the wise. Because a lot of times decisions you make will follow you a long ways in life. I don't profess to know everything that the parable meant when Jesus spoke of the unjust steward. You remember that parable, and he knew he was going to get put out of the house? And it said that when he realized that he was going to get put out of the house, he began to think about the range of outcomes that could happen when that happened. And he started to make preparation and plans ahead of time. Okay, that time comes, then I'm gonna start making these other decisions so that when that time comes, I'm in a better place. Do you remember that parable? And when he got done saying the parable, Jesus said that the children of this world are wiser than the children of light. Not going to try to do a deep dive into that this morning, but I'll tell you how it has impressed me for years now, that scripture. Does it make any sense to you today that we should give more time and more energy and more thought into how we make decisions relative to the temporal things of this life than we do to the things that affect our soul? The children of this world do this all the time. for things that are going to pass away. And then we make decisions knowing the word of the Lord, having been exposed to it. I don't want to be in the number where the Lord says, you understood these things. You were equipped with a decision-making process of making a wise decision. And you did that with all these things that pass away. But when it came matters to your of your soul, you were too ready to just make decisions on what you just felt like you wanted to do and what just seemed right. It just seemed right to you. But you didn't dig further. Do you know what part of this decision-making process is too? At least that I'm familiar with, that I've been a part of. It's getting people that are outside of your group, people that have a whole different perspective, and say, do you see something I don't see about this? Am I missing something? We have all of these options available to us to make good decisions in life. And yet, a lot of times, we don't utilize them. I know that the decisions that we make, it's not possible to know exactly what the upside and downside and the expected case is of decisions that I make in life, because a lot of times, as a man once said, we live going forward and we learn looking backwards. But folks, isn't there a place where we can look backwards and take the learnings that we've gotten so far in life and then take that and take the word of the Lord and implore His Holy Spirit and get counsel from those that have been down the road a ways and then do the best that we can, at least be responsible. To Jesus' point, that you first sit down and you think about what is involved with this, lest you make this decision, you make this investment, and you get down the road and you say, I didn't know. I didn't realize. I didn't think about. I missed this. Be encouraged this morning that the Lord is here to help us through this process. He wants to help you. He wants to help me. He wants to inspire words of the Lord to my heart. He wants to speak to me through His Holy Spirit. And so that before I start making decisions, and I come to the place where I realize that this expected case and this downside isn't what I thought maybe it would be, that I would be willing, by the grace of God, to make a different decision. Make a different decision. It's so important that we're open and honest with ourselves in this process. So, a pertinent question then is, and particularly to folks that are getting ready or have moved out of the home and now it's your home. You get full responsibility now. It's your decision. The refrigerators don't come fully stocked and the rent's not paid automatically and the lights don't just come on all by themselves and the decisions that you make, mom and dad's not always going to be there to help, you know, try to make things better and smooth it out. It's yours. So what kind of decisions do we have to make? Particularly that begin to influence our spiritual lives where our eternal soul is at stake. I've written some things down here. I'm going to have to go through them fairly quickly. But think about some of these. How are you going to spend your time? Time is valuable. Time is what we're given to live life and make decisions and go and do. And you take time away and that goes away. And there's only a limited amount of it. Be deliberate about how you use your time. Think about, how am I using my time? What do I expect to get out of it? If I use my time like this, the allotment that I have established in my day-to-day living, what can I expect to get out of that relative to my objective of knowing and reflecting Jesus Christ, making it to heaven, and helping others make heaven? What am I going to make space for in my life? I only have so much space and so much room. What am I going to let in? What am I going to keep out? One of the verses in 1 John, 2nd chapter, maybe 16 and 17th verse, it says, "For all that is in this world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life," it says, "it's not of the Father, but it's of the world." And it said, these things that are of the world, they're going to all pass away. "But they that doeth the will of my Father shall abide forever." So in other words, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and we're all human, and we are all drawn to things that our eyes have to do with, and our ears have to do with, and our bodies. And so, but those things are going to pass away. And what's going to matter in the end is that I know Jesus, and that I make heaven, and that I'm helping others make heaven. And so you're going to have to make some decisions in life. What are you going to look at with your eyes? What you look at influences what you think in your head, whether you want it to or not. Well, it doesn't affect me. I can look at things and it doesn't affect me. If you choose to look at things on your own, your decision, repeatedly, make a diet of it, because that's what you choose, it affects the way you think. It affects what goes on in your mind. You're going to have to make some decisions for your life and in your home. It's your home now. What tone are you going to set for your home? What is the culture going to be like in your home on what gets looked at? What gets listened to? On how we present ourselves to the world is still important. You know how we present ourselves to the world, what we put on, what we don't put on, how we dress, how we don't, there's modesty. It seems like that's a topic that there is resistance for that to be taught or preached because, well, that's personal and it's all about the heart and you shouldn't focus on things on the outside. Well, we could spend every message talking about the outside, which we don't hear. But that, if that's all we talked about, we would, yes, miss the heart. But the Scripture teaches us that the things of the heart begin to manifest itself on the outside. Our fruit. You'll know them by their fruits. By their fruits ye shall know them. Jesus said that. He said it two times in the span of about five verses. And other things in the Scriptures tell us we're to be a light to the world. What's one of the first things people see when they see us? They see us with their eyes. What are we trying to achieve? What is our motive with the outside? What is our objective? Is it to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness? Is it to know Jesus and reflect Him? Is it to make heaven? Is it to be an example so that others can make heaven too? It's not everything. It's not everything. It is on the outside. You can't judge a person's heart per se by just the outside. But it is a piece, and it is important. And you're going to have to make decisions. What are you going to do? What's your objective? What's your motive? What value am I going to give to acquainting myself with the Word of God? I don't know. Maybe, hopefully, you're in a home where having an established family altar of prayer is in place. You're going to have to decide on your own, am I going to give time to the Word of the Lord? Is my home, the way that I order my home, is it going to include a steady diet of acquainting myself with the Word of the Lord? And what about all the other influences that affect us and take our time and take our space and rent space in our minds? The things that I allow and the things that I don't allow. And specifically, folks, young people, young marriage, those beginning to establish your home, we're all individuals. We're all individual people with individual thoughts and desires and wants. And when we get out on our own, you know, sometimes you hear people say, well, I can't wait till I get out on my own. Then I'm going to be able to do it the way I want to do it. You're right. You, in a lot of ways, you're going to be able to do it. Make the decisions like you want to make, but there's going to be consequences that follow that go with that that may not be the consequences that you want. But as individuals, there's maybe some things in your mind that you say, when I get out on my own, I'm going to do this differently than what is done in my home. So there's going to be some changes that you desire to implement when you get out on your own. And I encourage you, and maybe they're good changes. I'm not saying that, you know, whatever you learned at home, that's the way it's supposed to be. Sometimes changes are needed. But I encourage you strongly, consider the range of outcome of this change that you want to make. Match it up with the vision and objective of seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, knowing and reflecting Jesus Christ, making it to heaven, and helping others make it to heaven. Those changes that you want to make in your life. Just trying to speak to practical, everyday things, decisions that you're going to have to make in life. Because the thing is, it's not just about you, but it's about the people you influence. And if God blesses you with children in your home, you're going to affect the children. And I want to say this too, that right or wrong, the standards that you set in the home are many times in children's eyes the high mark. That's the standard that they then make decisions from. Here's what mom and dad, this is how we do it. And so that's the high mark. And think about this. If you say you are a Christian, and I hope we are, and we say, I'm a Christian, this household is Christian based. And in this home, our vision and objective is to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And we want to reflect and know Jesus and make heaven and show us that's the most important thing in our home. And then in the home, these are the practices that happen in the home. X, Y, and Z. This is what you do in the home. And you're a Christian. You're a professed Christian with the professed vision and objective. Well, the child over here that is hearing you say, I love God more than anything else, and I put Him first more than anything else, and they hear that. And the child sees the decisions that you make on how to order your life and your home. These things become coupled. And the child looks at this and says, this is what seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness looks like. Because that's what you told them, really. Range of outcome. Is that what you... Is it consistent, the decisions you're getting ready to make? Are you okay? Are you okay with that? When you make decisions in the home, give consideration to how this is going to affect somebody else, what message it's sending, how it sets your children up so that they can make heaven their home, so that they can know Jesus, so that they can reflect Jesus. And sometimes as individuals we say, well, I know it's not a practice to do X, Y, or Z, but I can handle it. It doesn't affect me. I can do it. It's doesn't affect my relationship with the Lord, and others might not be able to, but it's okay with me. Okay, maybe true. And I'm not saying that we're all going to have exactly the same decisions. Not what I'm saying. Actually, this morning, I'm not really, my message is not to tell you specifically how you're supposed to do all of these things, except to employ a spiritual decision-making process where you evaluate the range of outcome with the decisions that you do make. And so you may say, I'm good with it. I can handle it. Can your children? Are they okay with it? What about those that are looking at your life? It's not the children, but it's the people at work. And your testimony to them is, I'm a child of God, and I think seeking first the kingdom of heaven is righteousness. It's the most important thing out there, and that's what I give myself to. And they're searching, and they're seeking, and they're saying, that's exactly what I've been looking for. Oh, I've got such great need. I'm so glad you came in my path, because I've been searching for that. And so then they look at your life, and they look at X, Y, Z, because they're trying to find Jesus. Trying to find a light, an ambassador of Jesus Christ that reflects Him so they can get a hold of it. Does it match up? You may say, preacher, you're thinking about this too much. You got to be careful that you're not just living in bondage. You're worrying about all the decisions too much, and you're acting almost like every time you turn around that every decision that you make, you're going to end up in the gutter somewhere, and it's just going to be a bad thing, and you can never live in peace, and you're in bondage to these things, and you just need to trust Jesus more. Folks, I am not promoting living in fear at all. I'm promoting living with care. I'm not promoting living in fear. I'm promoting that we live as careful of a life regarding spiritual things as we do the temporal things, at a minimum. And that we live with care. That we live according to wisdom. And that we do give consideration to outcome of the decisions that we make, understanding that there are consequences to the decisions that we make. There's costs, there's return, and I want to know what they are. And brothers and sisters, this morning, not knowing and reflecting Jesus, not making heaven my home, being a hindrance to other people making heaven their home, is not an acceptable, expected, or downside case. And so that's not how I want to live. I want to try to head that off. In closing, Proverbs 14 and 15 says, the simple believeth every word. The simple just takes what's kind of given to them on the surface, and they believe it all. But the prudent man looketh well to his going. The prudent man gives thought to his steps. In the fear of the Lord. That's my message this morning. I want to be a dependable servant of the Lord. I want to do my part. And I know that the Lord will do His to help me with that, to get me safely home. Amen.